I really believe that things are shifting. Things are shifting in the spirit. Things are shifting all over the earth. Things are changing. In the heavenlies, there's a lot of activity. The devil has a short time. And God is moving. In the midst of it all, even though there is much iniquity, the grace of God is greater. The light of Christ shines in the darkness. What better place for us to be than where it's dark? It's no time to be sitting around saying, God, take me to heaven. It's like, Lord, let heaven shine through me here in the earth. Because God wants you to shine for Him. Isaiah chapter 60. This keeps coming back to me over and over again, and we're going to just begin with this tonight. Isaiah chapter 60. It's time to wake up. It's not only time to wake up, but it's time to stay awake. We don't just wake up on Sunday morning, amen, and fall asleep on Monday. We got to stay connected. I want to read, first of all, from the New Living Translation, and then we're going to move to the New King James. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. In the New King James it says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Are we not seeing that? But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Gentiles, of course, are non-Jewish people. And this is speaking of the Jewish people. To the Jewish people. They are God's ancient people. God has a plan. He's had a plan throughout, amen, history with the people of Israel. And what is happening is God has been gathering His people that have been dispersed throughout all the earth, and He's returning them to the land. And simultaneously, as they're coming back into the land, God is beginning to turn to His ancient people, and He's beginning to remove the veil, and they're beginning to realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We are living in very interesting times. Would you agree? Yes. Things are definitely happening on a world scale like never before. Things are lining up. Jesus is coming. The King is coming. And right now, the works of darkness are increasing. The demonic activity has been on an increase. There's great darkness that's coming over the nations and over the people. Unfortunately, even over America. But wherever there's darkness, there's always the light. Amen? Because Jesus said that you are the light of the world. So let your light shine. And the darker it gets, the brighter we're going to shine. Because where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. There are more for us than are against us. Amen? If it's true that a third of the angels revolted and became the fallen ones, then there's two-thirds of the angelic hosts, the armies of God, that are with us. Amen? We need to be encouraged to know that we're not on the losing side here. We are on the winning side. It does not matter what things appear like. We are living according to the promises of God. That God has promised that He will restore all things. The day is coming when the Lord will judge the nations and He will take His throne. Amen. In Jerusalem, He shall reign over all the earth. The King is coming. And the herald is going out. The message of the gospel is going out. The gospel of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. We have been given an assignment to go and to take the message of Jesus Christ into all the world. Are you with me? We are to arise and shine because our light, as we have been grafted in, We have been adopted in, amen, to Israel. We have received the same promises given to Abraham and his offspring, amen. Because who is a Jew but he who is one inwardly? Circumcisions of the heart. So there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but there's still a purpose for Israel in the earth. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And so we need to be careful because there's a rise of anti-Semitism and this replacement theology that says that Israel's all done and it's all about the church today. That is false. There are many scriptures that speak to the time when God is going to come and he's going to restore Israel and he's actually going to sit on his throne there in Jerusalem on the seat of David, the throne of David. And so what is happening is exciting because we see, what was it, 46, when they began to became a nation again, and God has been bringing people from all over the earth, Jews. And interesting enough, there's black Jews, there's Asian Jews, Oriental Jews, you know. There's Jews from all different quarters of the earth that are coming back into the land. God is doing something, folks. It's an exciting time. But the enemy knows also, because he knows what God is up to, and he's going to try his best to thwart whatever the Lord says he's already going to do, and it's going to happen anyways. But in the process of that, there's going to be some battles that we're going to have to face, we're going to have to fight. And God has chosen you and I, the followers of Jesus, to be warriors, to rise up, amen, to rouse ourselves, to shake off the dust, rise up for Jesus, begin to open our mouths and begin to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And God will confirm the word that he puts into your heart that you're faithful to speak with accompanying signs. God wants to demonstrate the reality of this kingdom to the unbelieving world around us. And wherever there is darkness, the light is greater. So wherever the demons are hanging out, folks, that's where we should go in and disperse. We should disperse them because they are actually afraid of believers. And believers are those who believe what God says about them. We're not just believers in name only, but we're believers because we believe what Jesus said. And because we believe what Jesus said, we do what Jesus said to do. Those are true believers. Not the apathetic, not the complacent, not for those who sit around and hope someday, some in the great by and by, something will happen. But as those who arouse themselves and say, you know what, we're shaking off the dust here. We're rising out of the dust. Our light has already come. Do you know that? Your light has already come. What are we asking God to do? We're asking God to do something for us that he's already done. He's already given you. Have you asked him for the Holy Spirit? Well, you just need to believe that when you ask, you receive, and you receive. You don't have to tarry. They were told to tarry those 50 days, amen, after the cross, until the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they are all together in one place in one accord, right? And we know what happened, right? The Holy Spirit was outpoured. But after that, he didn't say, now tarry some more. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? If the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you need to rise up in the authority that God has given you and begin to do the works that Jesus did by destroying the devil's works. And not be afraid of your adversary. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God is calling you and I as his watchmen, as his warriors. He's calling us to arouse ourselves, to rise up, and to advance the kingdom of God. We are to proclaim his kingdom. We are to declare his word, and we are to reveal his glory. We are to proclaim his kingdom, what? Declare his word and reveal his glory. Isaiah 60 and verse 2 says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But, everybody say but, the Lord will arise over you. Do you know that the promises to Israel are promises to us in Christ? What God has promised his ancient people because of the covenant and the blood of Jesus, he has also promised to us. Do you know that God wants you to be blessed? God wants you to be extremely blessed, extremely happy. He wants us to live out the blessing he's already provided freely. And his glory will be seen upon you. As it gets darker, the glory of the Lord will shine brighter. Has anybody noticed? But there's a separation taking place. Already, it's beginning in the spirit. There's a separation taking place. There are going to be those who are going to be saved and those who are going to be lost. There are going to be good fish and bad fish. There's going to be, right, sheep, and there's going to be goats. There's going to be wheat. There's going to be tares. This is separation taking place. God is separating, and he has been separating for some time, a people. God is calling the warriors to arouse themselves to rise up and begin to step out in the authority and take dominion over the areas that he has given you responsibility of on the earth. That means wherever you live, that is your sphere of influence. How many know fathers? Amen. Mothers? Your responsibility, your realm of influence is in your home. It begins with you and I. You know, we can't take a city if we don't take ourselves first. The church will remain weak as long as we are stuck in this place of maintenance mode. So often, it's like, I'll go to church and I'll get an IV drip. Oh, that was good. And then you'll starve the rest of the week and drag in the next. It's like the Indy 500, you know. Come in for a pit stop. And now, is it important that we come together? Yes. But we have to learn how to stay filled up and armored up every day so that we're walking in our purpose every day. We got to quit depending on people. Even myself. You need to look to Jesus. My job is to point you to him, you know. He's the only one that's going to really help you. Now, we can put a Band-Aid on it and we can put that stuff on there. It makes it feel good. But that's all it is a patch. If you want to get healed, if you really want to be set free, you're going to have to surrender your life. You're going to have to get out of maintenance mode and patch me up mode and fix me mode. Come on. Sometimes, folks, you know what I'm talking about. The church gets caught up in this thing of, I come here to get fixed. We're constantly being fixed. Fix, 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 fix. When are we going to start taking dominion? When are we going to start destroying the works of the enemy? When are we going to start advancing? Advancing the kingdom. How many know that God wants you to be victorious? God wants us to live in victory and to overcome the world. We're not to be overcome by the world. We're to overcome it. So arise and shine because your light has already come. Don't be waiting around for something to happen that God says is already a reality. By faith, you step into that place and say, okay, I believe. Where is the God of Elijah? Yes, it wasn't enough that Elisha took up the mantle. He had to do something with it. Amen? He didn't pick up the mantle just so he'd have goosebumps. It was so that he could advance, amen, the kingdom. He could fulfill his purpose on the earth. Now, here we look at a charge that was given to the priests of Israel, and it had prophetic significance in Joel chapter 2, where it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble." Tremble why? "At the judgments of God. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand." Now, what was happening were their natural enemies, the Assyrians and the Chaldeans, were coming upon them. And God gave them this vision of these locusts that were going to be, there was going to be so many enemies that it was going to literally black out the sun. And great darkness was coming upon them. And so the watchmen, amen, which, who were the priests, they were to sound the trumpet and assemble the people and warn them that there is impending judgment, that the enemies of God are on the attack. It is time for us to shake ourselves and to wake up, amen, to armor up, to stand at attention, and to listen to the voice of the commander-in-chief. And when he says advance, we must advance. You cannot sit in the garrison all your life and expect to have victory. You are in a war, whether you like it or not. You're going to have to fight. If you don't fight, you're going to get stomped. Amen. Folks, are you with me tonight? If we do not fight, we're going to get stomped. It's not an if. It will happen. We're going to have to fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Because God is with us. The day of the Lord is coming. And this trumpet was blown with like a broken, quivering voice. It was like a quivering sound. And it was notice of approaching danger by these locusts. And it also signifies, of course, the enemies, the spiritual enemies of God. Now, what was God doing? Do you know what the trumpet was also for? It was to call the people to repentance. It was calling them to repentance because the reason why the enemies were coming upon them is because they had lived in rebellion to God, and they had lived for quite some time in rebellion. And it's just like us to think that, well, I can live in rebellion and do my own thing and life is going to continue to go on as it always has. The fact of the matter is that eventually what you are sowing will come back. And so there was a call that went out that we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to let our laughter be turned to mourning. There needs to be true contriteness, brokenness, and repentance before God. Because if we don't truly repent from our heart, there's not going to be any hope, folks. We see the enemy is coming. We see the darkness coming on America. How many know it's up to the church to do its part and to repent? Because it's the church that has been in bed with the world. And the judgments are that which we brought on ourselves simply because we allowed the enemy in. By not listening to the loving voice of our God. God loves you. God loves America. God wants to bless this country. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless this country. But we tie his hands when we don't listen to his voice. Why? Because God has given us the authority on the earth to bind and to loose. He's given us authority on the earth to represent him and to call his kingdom in. But when we're in bed with the world, we're inviting the enemy into our camp. Thank you, Jesus. To those who repent, there is a promise of overcoming victory and restoration. But to the unrepentant, there is certain destruction. Just because I'm getting away with it, just because nothing's happening right now, folks, you need to understand, we need to understand, amen, that God sees everything. He sees what's going on in your secret heart. He knows what you think about. He knows what you talk about. He knows what you whisper in the ear. He knows what you watch on the television. He knows what music you listen to. He knows what you gossip about. He knows who you're talking to on Facebook. He knows it all. He sees it all. And I tell you what, there's a time when the Lord just gets fed up and he's had enough. After wooing us and wooing us and wooing us and lavishing grace upon grace and hopes that we would look beyond the blessing and say, God loves me so much. How could I do these things that would hurt him anymore? Joel 3 and 9 and 10, proclaim this among the nations, Gentiles. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. In verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. This is the decree of God. You see, it's not only about the enemies that were coming upon them, but God is saying also to those who are His people that it's time for us to don our armor, amen, and to stand up and say, we're not going to allow this army to defeat us. If we will repent, if we will get our hearts right with God, if we will get into obedience, God will turn it around. God wants to turn it around. The call's going out. What are we fighting for anyways? Are we just out here boxing devils? Is that what it's all about? No. Folks, we're fighting for our own soul, first of all. But we're fighting for the souls of men. For the souls of people. And if you and I as individuals don't get our heart right with God, and truly submit ourselves to God and begin to live for Him, then we're going to have no effectiveness. Not only will we be destroyed, but we'll allow others around us to also be influenced and destroyed. Because you and I are the salt and the light. And if we're not being the salt and we're not being the light, if we're bringing reproach upon our Lord by our actions, by our attitudes, by our words, by the things that we say about others, Jesus says it's better to have a millstone hung around your head and thrown into the depths of the sea than to cause one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble. That's what God thinks about us causing someone to sin. Those who know better, to the man who knows the good he ought to do. We must be equipped for war. You know, many in the church have become passive survivors. Passive survivors in maintenance mode, and so many times just busy with our programs, busy with our services. We are here to be equipped for the work of the ministry out there. Amen? And God has called this church, this is our assignment, is to reach the people out there. So we're here to be edified, to be encouraged, to be equipped, to have good times together in fellowship. We need that. We need to be refreshed, amen, together as we share our giftings with one another. But it's not just for us, folks. It's for the lost. God wants to see the others that are out there to come in. Do we think about this? Do we dwell on it? I mean, is that what our life is consumed with? Is lost souls everywhere? Are we taking advantage of the time? We've got to awaken out of this complacency and this apathy. And we've got to awaken out of passivity, that passiveness. And you know what else we've got to awaken out of? Conformity. This is huge. This is where there's the confrontation. This is when it gets ugly, folks, in the spirit. Is when you make a stand to do the right thing and not compromise, then it begins to get ugly. Then you begin to get ridiculed. Then you get cast out. Then your name is not good in the eyes of the world. As a matter of fact, I said it before, you're going to be abnormal to the world. When we are being normal before God, you're going to be abnormal to the world. So we've got to be careful, okay, about conformity. Romans 12, right? 1, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? 12 and 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've been talking about that for weeks and weeks, about the renewing of our minds. About what we're thinking on, what we're dwelling on, the Word, feeding on the Word. You know, casting down imaginations, everything that doesn't line up with what God says about us. Washing ourselves, amen, in the Word. We've got to awaken out of conformity. It goes like this. Well, if I take a stand and let people know what I really believe, there's going to be a problem. Well, did Jesus cause any problems when he's on the earth? And if we live like Jesus did, are we going to create problems too? Oh, yeah. We're going to create problems for the devil. We're not going to be popular with the devil or people that love to follow him. There are those other sheep that belong to the Lord that are out there. He knows who they are. They will respond. He prepares the soil of the hearts. He allows situations in people's lives to bring them into a place of desperation so then they can look up. There's nowhere else to go but up. And then here we come, the messenger of the good news. And they're ripe. They're ready for the picking. They're ready to say, okay, I've tried everything else. Let me try Jesus. I heard Mario Murillo, when we went down to Jesus Culture, talk about, you know, how they balk at what we teach in the church. And about how it could transform a community if we would just simply listen to what God said and start patterning after God's word. He says, well, why don't we just try it for 6 months and see if it really works? Hello. How many know it works for your personal life? And it works for us as a church, right? Because we listen to God. You know, we are not to be passive. We are not to be conformists. We are not to try to make everybody like us. Oh, folks, I like people to like me too. I do. I really do. You might not believe that, but I do like people to like me. Yeah. God is good. But we cannot live our lives, amen, to please everybody around us. This is where we've made the mistake. As we're trying to approach this thing with a very non-offensive gospel. A gospel of accommodation that makes people feel good. But the problem is, they're not ever coming to a place of true contriteness and brokenness, where there is a genuine repentance, where the heart is transformed. Instead, they just make a deal with God. High five. We try to make deals with God. God, if you do it this way, yeah, I'll follow you. It don't work that way. We need to attack the enemy like Jesus did. There's a time for maintenance. As anybody beside myself needed some maintenance? Sure. We need to get healed, right? The problem is that some people are in a perpetual state of being healed. Perpetual patching up. Perpetual fix me. Perpetually, you know, minister to me. I need help. I need this. I. When are we going to say, hey, it's time? Frank, you know this. When the call comes out, it's time to get into formation. Amen. There's a time we're mustering. We got to get there, and you got to be there on time, and you got to be at attention at the right time, because you're going to receive some orders. You don't come whenever you feel like it. You come when the call goes out. And that's what it's talking about here. When the sound of the alarm goes out, when they would blow the trumpet, it was to assemble the people for a holy convocation. It was a time for them to gather, maybe to receive some instructions, some information. There was different types of soundings on the trumpets, you know, to gather the different tribes, the 12 tribes. There's actually a series of 7 different types of calls that would go out for each tribe to gather them together. There was times when they were to call for an assembly, and a time where a particular sound on the trumpet meant it's time to advance. Do you know that God is sounding the alarm to assemble, but God is also sounding the alarm for His church to rise up and to advance the gospel in the earth? Quit living in the camp. Hallelujah. If the glory of God has risen, amen, and He's moving, we better move with Him, or you'll sit in the camp and you'll die in the camp. Do you know there are many Christians that are dead spiritually because they have not moved with God? They have sat and done the same thing for years and years and never want to break out of the old pattern of comfortable predictability. And because of that, they're dead spiritually. Do you know life comes as a result of you and I abiding in Him? Life comes as you and I abiding in Him means that I listen to His voice. You cannot abide in Jesus and not obey Him. Jesus. The night is coming when no man shall work. There's darkness that's coming. We have been given a certain window of opportunity. Are you with me? We have been given a certain window of opportunity. That means we have a certain time frame allotted to us as individuals, first of all. Our days are to be lived for Him. And then, as a church, on our assignment here, even in Shelton, folks, we have a window of opportunity right now. This year, God is really speaking to me about equipping, and then we're going to launch out like never before this time. We're going to do it a little better, a little wiser. But we've got to get prepared. But we've also got to get out of the maintenance mode into advancement mode. And that's where the fruit is. That's where your life is. Because your life is in Jesus, and Jesus is on the move. As we yoke together with Jesus, as we're pulling together with Jesus, as we walk with Jesus, we're working with Jesus. Jesus is working, folks. As He said about His Father, "My Father works, and so do I." What are we saying today? Jesus is working, and so are we. Lord, where You go, I'll go. What You say, I'll say. What You pray, I'll pray. I'll follow You. I'll go with You through the valley. I'll go through the difficulties with You, Lord. Because You're never alone. Any soldier knows that there's difficulty. There's times of serious tribulation and difficulty. And yet, because you have confidence in your cause, you have confidence in your commander, you have confidence that your armor will protect you. You have confidence in your weaponry. You have confidence that you're able to defeat the enemy because you have already been able to see the end game. We've already seen it in the book. We already win. We just get to be the ones to help it happen. You see, if you want to sit around in the camp, if you want to continue to stay in a place of complacency, in a place of passivity, then God will move on because He's going to accomplish His purposes in the earth. Are you with me? And what God will do is He will turn from you and He will go to someone else that's bearing fruit. This one over here is obeying me. This one over here is bearing fruit. Well, give him more. Do you want more Jesus? Start giving him more of you. The reason we don't have much capacity for Jesus is because we're too full of ourselves. We attack the devil. We attack hate with love. We attack darkness with light, evil with good, cursing with blessing, lies with truth, hopelessness with a message of hope, and we attack oppression and possession with the anointing of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Breaks the yoke. We are to attack like Jesus did. Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And how do we know what he's talking about here? Luke 16:16 brings some clarity to that. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Do you know what? You won't receive from God if you're passive. You won't be blessed of God if you're passive. If you're just neutral and you just sit and hope something will happen, it's not going to happen. Because faith is not passive. Faith is a verb. Faith means that there has to be an action to what I say I believe. And when I act upon what I believe, I see that my faith is genuine because there will be roots. There'll be fruits. Amen? There will be evidence of that. Am I still popular? Do you still like me? I hope you know I still love you, right? I hope you still love me. People that love you tell you the truth. You know, if we love our children, we tell them the truth, right? If we love people, we tell them the truth. The truth isn't always easy. Sometimes there's days when I don't like to hear it. Has anybody ever been there? Sometimes it comes in a time when I really didn't want to hear it. But folks, I'll tell you, anymore it doesn't take me very long to say, you know what? That was good. I need to hear that. I need to receive that because somebody is loving me enough to tell me the truth. Somebody is loving my soul enough to say, listen, you're heading for a deep pit. If you don't change the direction you're walking, you're going to fall in the pit. If you love your kids, you don't let them play in traffic, right? Now, another lesson from history as Israel journeyed into the wilderness, Numbers 9 and 23, says, at the command of the Lord... Numbers 9 and 23. And at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. So there's a time to camp, right? See, this is the problem too. Sometimes people are trying to advance when they're supposed to be camping. And other times people are camping when they should be advancing. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord. At the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, the New King James says it this way. Chapter 10 and verse 9 of Numbers. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God. And you will be saved from your enemies. How many have ever discovered, we've been down this road many times, but sometimes a shout is in order. Sometimes it's not, and sometimes people shout when they should be quiet, but sometimes a shout is in order. There's times when there's an oppression maybe in here or an oppression on our lives that we need to shout because it says the Lord rises up, he goes up with the shout. When we shout the name of Adonai, we shout the name of Jesus. Amen? We shout his name. It breaks chains. It breaks the enemy. The enemy has to flee. Because when you begin to shout his name, you begin to call upon the name of the Lord. There is deliverance that is released. There's problems. Is some people are bound. They can't even praise God. They're shut down in this bubble. They can't enjoy their walk. And they won't open their mouth and they won't begin to give God praise. And I've discovered that I've got to praise my God because He inhabits praise. And if I want the atmosphere in my heart to shift and in my life and in my mind and in my environment, I've got to start singing praises to God. That's what Ephesians says, to be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a connection. There is a connection. Because we're meditating, we're thinking on what's true and lovely and good and, amen, pure. Jesus. You and I were not called just to hold onto our ground, but to advance and remove the enemy. He's not going to move unless you and I move. He's not going to move out of your life until you decide to kick him out. And unfortunately, you're always going to have some people who don't want him to leave because they like the sympathy they get. They like the attention they get from always having a problem. And now everybody's paying attention to me. But you're allowing the enemy to steal from you. You're allowing him to rob you when he wants you to be free. He really wants you to be free. But you need to understand who you are and the authority you have, that your light has already come, and that darkness is not supposed to be on you. It's not supposed to stay there. Amen. You can drive it off. So often we're blaming the devil for something that we simply have allowed because we're disobeying God. You know, it's true. Sometimes folks can get caught up in the devil this, the devil that, the devil that. You know, I got a little itch under my ear here. Get off me, devil. You know, it's like, come on. Get your mind off the devil. Get your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Start exalting Jesus. Magnify Jesus. Because if you keep talking about the devil, he shows up. It's very true. We need to kick the devil out of our family. And then once we start to get ourselves, amen, in right standing and take the authority that we have been given in Christ, and we've come into agreement with the Father and the Lord, amen, to obey His word, then you're in position for His blessing. And once the blessing comes, now you can turn and say, I'm going to take authority now in my family. My family, amen. I'm not going to allow the devil to have my family. So you're going to have to fight for your family. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you are faithful and you keep sowing and sowing in the Holy Spirit, somehow, some way, God knows how to move things and work things. And He knows how to get the enemy out. And then when the family starts to get back into order, folks, then comes community influence. Do you know how many know what I'm talking about? It's hard to be an influence in our community when our lives are a mess. So you've got to first take yourself and you've got to say, I got to quit playing patty cake with the devil. I got to quit playing games. I got to quit being passive. And I certainly got to quit conforming. Mm-hmm. Just so people will like me. Sometimes when I look at what's happening in the political arena, I'm trying not to get off into that funk right now, but I see sometimes how it seems like our government's playing patty cake with our enemies. Trying to appease our enemies where they have no good intentions. They will play that game and they will take and they will take and they will take, but they never give anything back. And all they're doing is waiting for an opportunity, looking for an opportunity. We're trying to pacify an enemy that hates our guts. They want to kill us. And there's no peace to the passive. If we remain passive as a nation, if we just want to burn our incense and put up our peace signs and say peace around the world, come on, we'll be, you know, hammering out salt in Siberia. We would have already by now. There has to be action. Peace comes at a cost. Our peace came at the greatest cost. Jesus suffered and died. He fought the battle and won for us. Now we walk in what He's already established for us and given to us as He has restored to His church, His people, the authority that they once had to now go and continue to stomp the devil, to dispossess him, to drive him out of the land, to drive him out of our lives, out of our family, out of our community. Hallelujah. It's not going to happen if we sit in the garrison and hope something's going to happen. Hope you know I'm not mad at you tonight. I'm just passionate. It's not about being liked, seen, accepted, or even politically correct. We are to speak and live the truth in love. The gospel is offensive. The true gospel is offensive. The altered gospel is not. But how many know that Jesus didn't alter the truth? You're either going to love Jesus or hate Him. If you live for Christ, they will either love you or hate you. There won't be this, everybody likes me. As a matter of fact, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." We have to make up our minds that we're in a war, we're in this, amen, to win, because Jesus has already won it. I just need to come into alignment with Him, in agreement with Him, and walk out the plan He has to disperse, to drive them out. They are illegal, they don't belong here, because Jesus is Lord. And Jesus said, go in and drive them out. We're called. Now, let me just say this. We should never offend others because we have, I've said it before, but bad attitudes or offensive personal behavior. Now, some people think they're suffering for Jesus because they're just not, they're not acting right. They don't know how to conduct themselves in a way that's respectful around others. Sometimes we're flat out disrespectful to people. Sometimes Christians can come across as self-righteous and self-righteous snobs. Have you ever run into one like that? We get caught up into that leaven of the Pharisees. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. The untouchables. You know, seriously. Offensive personal behavior. We have to love people. And God gives wisdom. He gives tactics. He gives us a way, amen, to deal with every situation. Are we willing to just to say, Lord, what do I do? How do I handle this person? How do I approach this person? There's times when God says, nail him right between the eyes with the truth. And I know some people that are better at that than I am. But then sometimes they're doing that when it should be a little different. Different approach. And then the opposite is true. You can have people that are always trying to be diplomatic, you know, and there's a time to use a little more diplomacy, if you will, to try to bring an understanding, you know. People just sometimes need to be educated in something that they had no awareness of. And so if we entreat the truth and we do it with gentleness and respect, they may be open to hear what you have to say. But if we come up and we point a finger at them and say, you're going to hell for that. I mean, that was my way of, you know, and it was amazing, but I never won anybody to Jesus when I was doing that. So I started to listen to the voice of God and say, Lord, how do I talk to this person? How do I deal with this person? God gives, He gives tactics. Amen. But this is what He'll never do, is He'll never compromise the truth. He'll never promote conformity to the world standard. You see, there's some Christians that are doing some questionable things in their life because they're trying to fit in with the world and fit in to God's kingdom. But you can't serve two masters. You'll be double-minded. You'll be just like the waves tossed to and fro, back and forth. I do good Sunday morning. As soon as I walk out the door, I'm right back in that funk again. You've got to come all the way over the line deep unto deep. I'm going in the deep end here. I'm done with the old life. I'm done with death. I've divorced it. I'm walking in life now. The rest of my life, I'm going to live for Jesus. All the way, all in, right? We're all in. We're called to proclaim His kingdom, to declare His word, and to reveal His glory. And so the Lord, we know, is raising up this end time army who will not just maintain a defensive posture, but actively advance and destroy the works of the devil to set every captor free. Now, how do we do this? We do this with love. We love. When you love, you tell people the truth. When you love, you do it with gentleness and respect. When you love, you don't compromise, right? When you love, you don't conform to the world. When you love, you can't sit passive, because if you see people going off the cliff into eternity, if you're in love, you're going to say, let me throw out a lifesaver. Hang on to the rope. Hang on to Jesus. Call on Jesus. If we're really walking in love, folks, we're going to make some people mad at us. We're going to have some people actually hate our guts. But on the other side of that, you're going to have people that will love you. That's why we love each other here, because we love Jesus. Amen? You love the saints because you love. The world didn't understand Jesus, and they're not going to understand us either. You see, there was no middle ground. Either they loved Jesus or they hated Him. You didn't get anybody. And some people will try to be in that in-between place, but God says, spitting you out. Either you're in or you're not. How many are all in? We're all in. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. What's going to do it, folks? It's going to be the truth and love that's going to destroy the works of the enemy. Amen? It's about the truth. It's about loving the truth. It's about proclaiming the truth. It's about living the truth in love. Because if we don't stick to the truth and we try to compromise the truth to please and appease people, every time you will lose them. You may win a convert for a season, but their walk will be so shallow they won't have any roots, and eventually the wind will blow them away. Godly sorrow, contriteness that brings true repentance, is necessary. And it's only the truth that's going to bring people to an awareness of their true condition. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. It's coming, is it not? To comfort all who mourn. And listen to the church, to console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. And anybody receiving beauty for ashes here? Anybody the oil of joy for mourning? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? That they may be called, that's you and I, trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That He may be glorified. It's time to wake up. It's time to arouse the warriors. Say, prepare, equip, prepare for war. We cannot sit in garrison forever and be neutral, to be passive, to be conformists, to play it safe, to be in our comfort bubble. You got to bust out of that bubble, amen? But you'll find out that once you step outside of your comfort zone, Jesus will meet you right there. And you'll truly be comfortable. Isn't it true? True comfort comes from the Lord. There's nothing more, you know, satisfying. There's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing that brings greater joy than being in the will of God. Even when that means persecution. How can anyone leap for joy when they're persecuted? Because of the joy of the Lord, that's their strength. How can the disciples rejoice when they were flogged for their witness of Jesus as they walked away and say, we were counted worthy to receive stripes for our Lord? How could they do that? Because the joy of the Lord was their strength. Because they were in the will of God. They did not try to save themselves. They gave themselves away. And as you give your life, you'll find it. If you try to save it, you'll lose it. If you want righteousness, peace, and joy, it's in the Holy Spirit. It's in that realm of the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, as we abide in Him, then we will bear fruit. We've got to count the cost. We've got to make up our minds that we're in all the way. You know, the Spirit has been saying that about He wants His people all in. I was hearing that too. The same. I actually was thinking about putting all, big letters all in. Right up here. All in. But actually what I really want to put up there is Isaiah 60. 1 and 2. Especially verse 1. Because I believe that is a word for us for this year. Arise and shine. Chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. I'm expecting fruit this year, are you? I'm expecting to see souls. Amen?
Yes.
Healing and deliverance.
Yes.
Keep on praying in the Spirit. Keep on sowing. Keep on giving. Keep on loving. And as you do, the time comes when it begins to return to you. If you go out bearing precious seed with weeping, doubtless you'll return. Amen? Having your sheaves full, rejoicing. But if you just sit in the garrison, it's not going to happen. You've got to step out, bearing the precious seed to the world. Amen? The Word of God, the love of Jesus.